Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Brayden Suprenant. Thanks again for downloading and listening to the Brayden Suprenant Show. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen and favorite us on the Odyssey app. You can also catch me live weekdays from 10 to 2 on 97.3 The Fan and streaming on YouTube. Plus, stay connected. Follow me at B_SURP, at BSURP on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, and subscribe to my YouTube page at BSURP. You can also follow the show on social media at B_SURP show, at BSURP show. Now, let's get into the show.
San Diego, it's time to fire it up. From the beaches to the ballparks, from the gas lamp to North County, no one knows America's finest city like he does.
You can't just punt on a Manny Machado prime year.
He's a fourth-generation San Diegan, born and raised in the heart of this community. Passionate, opinionated, and always bringing you the real talk on your teams, your city, and everything in between.
Brayden totally knows his stuff. He's ready for the next step. That guy is good.
Live and local, it's the Brayden Suprenant Show.
But I think Brayden's one of the up-and-coming young stars in the media game in San Diego.
Now, here's your host, Brayden Suprenant.
What's up, San Diego, and happy Thursday to everybody out there in America's finest city. He's Frank Marchese. I'm Brayden Suprenant. This is the Brayden Suprenant Show, live and local each and every day from 10 to 2 on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. We got a lot to unpack today when it comes to college football, NFL, we got some high school football to talk about. Obviously, we got some big sports in town. We got a big volleyball game tonight. USD Women's Volleyball is taking on Pepperdine. If USD wins, they will win the conference, the West Coast Conference title. Here at the Jenny Craig Pavilion, we'll have Jennifer Petrie on later on during the show at 11:35 to talk about the upcoming game. And a big match tonight at the Jenny Craig Pavilion as the Toreros try to improve on their 14-0 record in conference play. They've won 14 straight and are looking for 15 straight and looking for another West Coast Conference championship. We'll talk about that later on in the show. We will also get to our usual situation with college football picks at 1 o'clock with Skyler. Eddie Brown will join us at 1:35. We're going to break down the AFC and NFC playoff races. That's pretty fun coming up as well. And we got a lot of other stuff to unpack when it comes to the details on the MLB TV rights. Latest news and rumors in free agency. I mean, we got a lot to get to today on the Brayden Suprenant Show. But a couple of things that I saw last night. I mean, I'm into college basketball. We talked about San Diego State, obviously, a couple of days yesterday, and how bad of a loss that was. I mean, you start looking at, and again, this is the whole concept of what we were talking about yesterday when it comes to Aztec basketball. And it's the reason I'm bringing it up, because Brenton Ford in the chat said it at the beginning. I watched the game last night, but we were talking about West Coast basketball. And where San Diego State is in West Coast basketball compared to the other teams in the West Coast that are really good. Again, like if you're thinking about teams on the West Coast, unfortunately, they're in conferences like the Big Ten, the Big 12, the Mountain West. I mean, maybe the future Pac-12, the West Coast Conference. You think about Gonzaga, you think about Arizona, you think about San Diego State, maybe UCLA every once in a while. Oregon has some good years every once in a while. But The thing is, and this is where it gets frustrating watching Aztec basketball sometimes on the loss that they had to Troy. And Mark Ziegler put it in his article. I mean, he talks about how that loss to Troy could keep you out of the NCAA tournament if you don't rack up some wins against some good teams. And you get to play Oregon, one of the better teams in the West Coast. You get to play Arizona, who had a big win last night. But here's the deal when you start thinking about all those teams. Arizona, Gonzaga, UCLA, sometimes Oregon. If you want to be in that conversation, you can't lose games to Troy. You just can't. Go look at what Arizona's done. Arizona does not mess around with teams like Troy. They take care of business. UCLA does not mess around with teams like Troy. They take care of business. Gonzaga never messes around with teams like Troy. They take care of business. You say what you want about scheduling and everything like that. Those schools take care of business. Now, for Arizona, this is a team that San Diego State's going to have to play this year. Arizona looked great last night. Represented the Big 12. They're 5-0. They beat UConn on the road. A true road game at UConn. They won 71-67. And this Arizona Wildcat basketball team that San Diego State's going to have to deal with in a couple of weeks, they've already knocked off Florida, number 3 in the country. They've already knocked off UCLA, number 15 in the country. Arizona's going to play the two schools from Alabama and Auburn and Alabama, who are ranked 22nd and 11, respectively, at this point in time. And then they got San Diego State. And I'm going to tell you right now, this is what Arizona's done against inferior opponents like Troy. Utah Tech, they buried them. Northern Arizona, they buried them. They got Denver coming up. We talked about this yesterday. They're probably going to bury them. Norfolk State, that's a big difference. We could talk about resources all we want. But when you look at college basketball last night, it was just a different level. Some good basketball games last night in college basketball. Alabama beat Illinois on an upset by 4 points last night. The 11th-ranked Alabama Crimson Tide against the 8th-ranked Illinois Fighting Illini. Michigan got another win. Good news for Aztec fans, though, is Michigan got another win. And they don't play anybody else, I don't think, until they play San Diego State. They got San Diego State next. They're 4-0. They survived the game at TCU, but that's a good opportunity for the Aztecs to bounce back. They're going to have to do that, though. They're going to have to do that if they want to make the NCAA tournament. I mean, I think it would be incredibly disappointing for the San Diego State team to be a bubble team going into the NCAA tournament or having to be in a position where they have to win the Mountain West Conference to get into the NCAA tournament. But they need to take care of business against inferior teams, and they weren't able to do that 2 nights ago. It's not an overreaction. Good teams don't lose those games. They don't. Good teams don't go to double overtime in those games. They don't. Good teams beat those teams. And they didn't do that the other night. And I watched the other teams that they're going to have to compete with in the NCAA tournament potentially or down the road, and you got to be able to handle those teams. But I saw that with the Arizona game last night. I mean, they just looked way better than San Diego State. And we'll see. I mean, they get to play Arizona here in a couple of weeks. And here's the thing. They're gonna lose some games to the Mountain West teams because it's hard to win in conference play. It's absolutely hard to win in conference play. In any type of conference, it's hard to win in conference play. So that was going on in college basketball last night. Again, we'll see how they bounce back. Maybe it's the one loss. Maybe it's the one loss, but they got to be able to have some type of offense instead of just letting them play. I mean, maybe that's a good philosophy. I didn't really believe it too much when I saw it. But they're going to go to Arizona. They're going to play them in Phoenix. I mean, the resident Arizona fans are going to say it's not a true home game. I mean, Arizona travels well anyway. You don't think they're going to make the drive up to Phoenix from Tucson? I mean, that's going to be an Arizona home game for sure. For sure. Let's talk about something else going on. Major League Baseball. The Players Association, it's interesting, here we go, getting this early. The Players Association is expressing serious concern over unethical conduct involving player agent Jim Murray and top MLB officials, including Commissioner Rob Manfred. Union claims Murray engaged in, quote, double dealings by secretly collaborating with league officials during critical negotiations in 2020, specifically regarding player salaries amid the COVID-19 pandemic. Here's what the Players Association has said as we develop in more drama between the Players Association and the owners before they have a lockout, potentially, next year. The Players Association issued a 71-page notice of discipline detailing Murray's actions, which led to his 4-year decertification as a player agent. Murray alleged acted as a, quote, mole for the commissioner's office, providing confidential information, undermining union leadership, and advising MLB to reject union proposals. The union claims these actions were far from routine and represent an attempt by the league to circumvent players' elected representatives. Commissioner Rob Manfred's response to this was he characterized the communication as, quote, routine and a normal part of labor negotiations, asserting that agents have historically contacted owners and the commissioner's office. He framed the situation as ordinary negotiation, back-channeling, stating there was nothing unusual about these conversations. The union, the players' union, on the rebuttal, rejected Manfred's characterization, calling it misleading and highlighting the severity of Murray's betrayal. They emphasized that this incident is, quote, extremely revealing about MLB's general approach to labor negotiations and described the agent community as justifiably outraged. This is a lot of stuff in here. I mean, the key takeaways are the incident obviously shows that there's some massive trust issues between the Players Association and the owners. That's kind of where we're at here. MLB management probably more say, because this doesn't really have anything to do with the owners, because they're accusing Rob Manfred of some issues. Despite the controversy, Major League Baseball and Rob Manfred has framed his relationship with the Players Association as open and aimed at a healthy communication. The union's disciplinary action against Murray underscores the seriousness of covert dealings during sensitive labor negotiations. Manfred's attempt to downplay the situation has been met with strong pushback from the players' union, signaling potential friction in future CBA negotiations. With all this information that's come out with this particular situation, and I don't want to spend too much time on this, but what it tells me is a couple of things. One, these guys are in for a massive, massive fight for what they want in the next CBA. They're not going to be on the same page. They're not. This is going to take a long time. And we are just a year out of this. I mean, we haven't even started really diving into this yet because it's not going to happen until next year. But there is a lot going on with Major League Baseball and their Players Association that obviously is going to come to a head next season. At the end of 2026. I find it hard that they're, you know, I find it hard to believe that they're not going to not miss games. And to me, I want to know what who has got the most leverage in that. Is it the Players Association or is it the ownership group? It's going to be interesting to see. But some of the big stories coming out in sports, especially with baseball, was that. The other thing is updates on the TV contracts. ESPN with a TV contract deal with Major League Baseball. Andrew Marchand joined Ben and Woods earlier today to talk about it. When we come back, we're going to break down what he said and hear from Andrew Marchand as we continue on the Brayden Soprenet Show, San Diego's number one sports station, 97 through the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
You know, Saris put together a great article, four potential bargains in MLB free agency, from Tatsuya Imai to Cody Ponce. That's going to be an interesting conversation and a lot of work that Saris put into this. If you want to read it, it's in The Athletic. But there's a couple of things in there that we want to talk about when we come back. But we do want to get to what's going on in the television contracts that just went down yesterday. Came down yesterday that ESPN has signed a deal with Major League Baseball on a TV contract, as well as Netflix and NBC/Peacock. They all have deals now with Major League Baseball. Now, in this contract, ESPN does have the rights to broadcast six local teams, and one of them is the San Diego Padres. Now, from what it sounds like, nothing is really going to change if you have Padres.tv. I think, basically on what we've been told, nothing is changing for 2026. Wherever you get the Padres, you are currently going to get the Padres again. ESPN is just another streaming platform that you can watch the Padres. That's what we've been informed on. So it's not going to be a lot of changing. But earlier today, Andrew Marchand, who I think writes for The Athletic on all these things, he was on with Ben and Woods to break down this new agreement and to make us understand it a little bit more. And the first thing that Andrew Marchand was asked about was the ESPN deal and the MLB agreement and what exactly it is.
ESPN had a 7-year agreement with Major League Baseball, and in it, after four seasons, MLB and the commissioner, Rob Manfred, wanted to have an opt-out clause put in so they could go back out in the market potentially. And then ESPN said, okay, if you want an opt-out, then we want an opt-out. So 4 years go by, and ESPN said, you know what? We're actually going to use that opt-out because we're paying too much money. They owed $1.65 billion for Sunday Night Baseball, the first round of the playoffs, and Home Run Derby. Now, MLB, they announced yesterday, has made agreements for Sunday Night Baseball in the first round of the playoffs with NBC and Peacock for a little less than $200 million. And then they made another deal with Netflix for opening day and the Home Run Derby for $50 million. So that's $250 multiplied by 3, $750. That's a $900 million difference. That's where the mistake came in. That they made. They recovered a little bit because then they sold MLB.TV to ESPN for the next 3 years or license it. So they got that $1.65 billion back, but they did it by selling something else.
Yeah.
So that's how we got to this spot.
Sounds like a pretty good deal for ESPN, Frank. They're paying the same amount of money and they get more assets now.
Did I hear someone made a $900 million mistake?
Yes. You did hear that correctly. It made sense. Like, I was looking at it yesterday, and it said whatever it was, $1.65 billion, right? That's what ESPN was paying for MLB. So they were paying that before for Sunday Night Baseball and the first round of the playoffs and then those select random Wednesday games, right? There was nothing else that ESPN... Oh, then they had the All-Star game. No, they didn't have the All-Star game. They had the Home Run Derby, and then they had all the All-Star game festivities that weren't the game, right?
Yeah.
That's what ESPN had.
Mm-hmm.
That was all they had. And so then ESPN's like, we're not going to do this deal anymore. We're not going to spend the money that we were spending because they're spending all this other money on the SEC and the NBA and trying to own every other asset on the planet. They just bought Sunday Ticket, or not Sunday Ticket, they bought Red Zone. They might have bought Sunday Ticket. I think they bought Red Zone. But anyway, you're watching ESPN spend all this money. And so then they renegotiate and get a smaller amount to have to pay for their MLB products. And then baseball's like, well, actually, we're not making as much as we were before. We got to get that back up to 1.65 because they made a $900 million mistake. And what they did was they threw more assets in for ESPN. So now ESPN actually has more important things and more inventory for their app
for the same
price that they're already paying. ESPN gets a great deal out of this. I don't necessarily know if it's great. I mean, Major League Baseball, you get the same amount of money you were making. So it's like you don't even get any extra money, but now you have less assets you have control over, and ESPN is paying the same amount of money. It's almost like they pulled like a DirecTV or a Spectrum, wherever the cable provider is, where you complain, like, I'm going to leave. Oh, we'll give you this for free. All right, sounds good. I'll stay. Pay the same price. That's what it sounded like to me. $900 million mistake. Do we think that person still works for Major League Baseball?
It better not be.
$900 million mistake. That is a massive mistake. People make mistakes. Not a lot of people every day make a $900 million mistake. Let me tell you.
It's impressive. That's an impressive mistake.
So that's the ESPN and MLB agreement. Now, here's Andrew Marchand talking about what is Major League Baseball's main broadcast issue right now.
Well, there's really a couple things going on. I mean, the biggest issue is the RSN, the regional sports networks, which have diminished in small and mid markets around the country. And we're really the lifeblood of them has been baseball. 162 games, about 135, 140 are on your local carrier. And so that was really profitable for the RSNs and also for baseball. As cable has diminished, less people have it. Those places can't afford to pay the rights fees because they're not bringing in as much money. And so that's been a big issue for baseball. I do think when you look at what Manfred did, and I wrote this in the column, he did put some ducks on the pond because these deals are smaller deals. It's you know, regular season games, opening day. You do get the first round of playoffs, but it's not the LCS. It's not the World Series. MLB.tv is a crown jewel because that allows ESPN now to be the home for all 30 teams out-of-market games and then for 6 in-market teams games. But I think so when you look at it, that's their issue. But they're going to – now, they could have a lockout after next season, but let's just say that goes – let's say they come to a resolution there. You go into – all of their contracts are done after 2028. So that's Fox with the World Series, TNT Sports – and I don't know how long your show is. They have so many deals, I'm going to stop there. And that's a big problem because with their too many deals. But when they go into that, the World Series will be up for auction. Everything will be up for auction. They should be in a better place to potentially do not maybe as well as the NBA or definitely not as the NFL, but do better on their national deals. These are smaller deals, and they kind of put themselves in a box by putting that opt-out in that initial ESPN contract.
So they got a lot of contracts coming up in 2028. That's interesting. I don't know if that's a little more leverage with the players. I mean, Major League Baseball knows they have to play in 2027. They can't give up games and lower their value of interest when it comes to a big TV contract coming up, Frank.
No, exactly. And it's interesting how many, I would think when you're doing television rights deals and stuff like that, you wouldn't have them all run up at the same time. Like, I could see how that would work for, like, just not forgetting is, oh, hey, you know, this deal is coming up. No, they're all coming up at the same time. That, to me, I think is the most interesting part of it.
That's been a problem for the college level. College football has been kind of an issue with that.
It's like you've got everything and then in one fell swoop, you've got nothing, and you're hustling to try to negotiate with 10 different people to try to keep what you have.
The interesting thing about this is the amount of contracts that they have in place, the amount of deals they have with different entities for Major League Baseball. I do agree. Like, the RSN thing was great at the time, but with nobody paying for cable and them not getting the money on the cable subscriptions, because that's how these RSN companies made money, was they got a small percentage of the cable subscriptions, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's like how ESPN, that's how Disney made all this money too. Like, Disney, the biggest money maker for Disney when I was in college, because they came and talked to us about it in class, the biggest money maker, like, per month for Disney was ESPN, and it was strictly on cable subscriptions.
Mm-hmm.
It was just you, Frank, paying for cable, right?
Yeah.
And it came with ESPN. They got a small percentage of that.
Yep.
And just the money they got at the beginning of every month just for that was the biggest moneymaker for Disney. Think about that for a second. Disney, with all their, you know, with the mouse and running everything and everything. And the thing with Disney, though, is interesting. It's they use Disney as an example in a lot of business classes of how you build off of your brand or your central idea. It's the way that Walt Disney put everything together. He had like a simple concept, and then he created all of these avenues off of it that relate back to each other and back to the central product that he had. And Disney has been very profitable in that. I mean, think about all the movies they've made and the cartoons and the theme parks and the merchandise and all of that stuff and all the properties they own and all of that.
And that's not just in the
U.S.
either.
ABC, having all those things, their biggest moneymaker in 2014, because this is when I learned this information. It's obviously gone way down now because people have cut the cord. Their biggest moneymaker was not even selling ads. Not even selling ads on ESPN. It was strictly subscriptions to cable that paid for that got the percentage for ESPN. Just cable subscriptions. That's what Disney's biggest moneymaker was. And so for a lot of these regional sports networks, they were getting a big check for the cable subscriptions. And they were able to pay for these rights fees. But now there's only a couple of markets that could pay for the rights fees. It's Los Angeles. It's New York. It's the Bay Area. It's Chicago. I mean, these are Boston. These are the cities that have their own sports networks. It's the ones that have SNY and have the YES Network. And they have all these networks that are owned by the teams, and they make so much money because they have a big plethora of not only viewership, but also companies that can advertise it. They can make their money back in advertising. Not every market can do that. And so from that standpoint, once people started cutting the cord, you were cutting the cord on baseball and what made them the most money. Now they have to find a way to make everything centralized to try to make things like the NFL. This just shows, Frank, how ahead of the time the NFL was.
Yeah.
It does. It shows how ahead of the curve the NFL was on not having regional sports networks. That's why the conversation, remember the conversation about like the Chargers leaving, and the reason why they left for LA was like, well, they're going to be so much more valuable in LA with TV. What are you talking about?
Yeah, no, they're not, because
the TV contract's the same.
Exactly. Yeah, they're playing on CBS.
People used to say that all the time. And I go, "Do you watch the NFL?" They're all on CBS and Fox. They don't get to go to SpectrumNet LA or whatever the hell they have in Los Angeles and get to make a lot more money in TV revenue. It's the same.
The only thing, I mean, you can only say that for preseason games where you do have it on local.
Right, where you have the local CBS affiliate.
Yeah, exactly.
Fouts was calling the game.
But it means nothing.
It doesn't. That's minuscule to the NFL. That's why I always laughed at people out of touch of San Diego that didn't understand that were like, well, they're going to make more in TV. No, they're not. They're going to make the same. Nothing changes. The only thing that changes is the value of the organization when they sell. They're not making any extra money than they would staying in San Diego. The same thing is the case with all of these entities if you put it on a centralized TV market. So baseball is the biggest problem for baseball right now is trying to centralize their TV. But they can't do that without upsetting all the big teams that are making all the money.
Mm-hmm.
You go try to tell the Yankees to give up the YES Network. You talk about the guy that's making the $900 million mistake. That male or female or whoever that individual was or group of people that were, they might be the ones that have to go tell the LA Dodgers, hey, you know what? We're at the Major League Baseball. Can you? We're trying to centralize our TV. Can you give up Spectrum, LA? We want to try to share it with everybody else.
No, as a matter of fact.
That would be the only leverage point I think the Players Association would have against the owners is, you know, that particular instance. But it's very interesting. There's a couple more clips from Andrew Marchand that we want to get to, but we got to take a break. Talking about that specific thing. Will there be more equal TV revenue sharing like the National Football League? Again, they've been ahead of their time when it comes to TV contracts. What did Andrew Marchand had to say, and will the Dodgers still have a crazy advantage over everyone with this new TV deal? We're going to talk about that next. We're going to hear what Andrew Marchand says about that particular situation. We're also going to look at what Eno Saris put together in terms of some players that might be the biggest bang for your buck in free agency for MLB teams and whether or not they're a fit for the Padres. That all continues on the Brayden Soprenet Show, San Diego's number one sports station, 97 through the fan. We have...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Tickets to give away to watch the Aztecs take on San Jose State in football on Saturday. Lower concession prices this time. That's going to be cool. I forgot the exact... What were they... They're doing like...
I don't know, honestly.
Did Aztec football put that out? I like that... They're trying. They're trying to get more people... to watch. They're trying to get more people at the game, at the stadium. A lot of awards, finalists for San Diego State, too, which is great to see.
Recent event features throwback prices, $4 for soda, $3.50 for nachos, and $2.75 for hot dogs.
Yeah, here it is. Throwing it back to the classics. Aztec Nation, we're excited to announce our classic concessions pricing for our final home matchup. Against San Jose State on November 22nd. See you at Snapdragon Stadium. Hashtag Aztec Fast. Hashtag Be the Alpha. Hashtag The Climb. Don't you love college football teams' hashtags? Be the Alpha. Spear. Other stuff. Put it on a shirt. So this is the concessions for November 22nd. Special pricing. I love this. This is great. Get families to go to the Aztec game. Let them enjoy the time. Make them fans for life. Love this idea. Hot dogs, $2.75. Nachos, $3.50. Popcorn, $2, Frank.
Oh, that's not bad.
$2 popcorn. 12-ounce soda, $4. How much you want to guess the 12-ounce beer is?
That's a 20 ounce.
12 ounce beer.
$7.
$10.
Okay.
Nah, not too bad. I think they had a 12 ounce beer at, when I went to the Titans game, I think it was a 12 ounce beer was $10, maybe. Might have been 16. I think it was a 16 ounce beer was $10.
Seeing sports venue alcohol prices makes me very happy I don't drink.
How about, did you see what Rice University's doing this weekend?
No.
Let me know if this is a good idea.
Believe it or not.
Was it your week to watch the Rice University concession pricing?
No, it was not.
How about this? Rice University. I got to find it just to make sure I'm accurately saying this.
Oh, because don't tell me they're doing a $2 beer gimmick.
Oh, no. Oh, no. It's better.
Oh, no.
It's better than that.
Oh, no.
You're going to be shocked. You're going to be shocked at the people.
Wait, hold on. Do we need to have the Rice University police Twitter account on hand for this, is what you're telling me?
It's very possible.
Okay, now I got to see if Rice University police has a...
No, hold on. Here's where we got here. Rice football is taking on the 22nd ranked North Texas Mean Green, okay?
Yes.
Saturday. 6:30 Central Time. Student perks at the Nest, with a Rice ID. Free t-shirt, first 500 students, okay. Free ice cream from Ben and Jerry's.
Okay, not bad.
$15 food truck voucher. Curbside Eats, and True Dog. They'll have a residential college challenge. College with the highest attendance percentage receives a free TurtleBox speaker and a $500 HEB gift card. And here's the best one.
That's not bad.
Free beer. Free beer to 21-year-old and up students with a valid ID at Rice if you go to the Rice football game. Free beer.
Rice, what are
Rice
you doing?
Rice is giving away free beer to their students.
Rice, what are you
free beer
doing?
To the students.
Oh, my God.
Free beer to college students. What could possibly go wrong?
What have you done?
Free beer to college students. Unbelievable. I love it. What could possibly go wrong?
Rice.
You got to think about how nobody goes to Rice football games. For them to say free beer to kids age 21 and up with a valid ID. As long as you have a student ID. I mean, we're thinking about, like, this is, I remember when I was in college at TCU, they did not sell alcohol. And one of the sales teachers, because the thing with, they had a bunch of people that were on, currently active in the industry, were your professors. And one of them was like, I fight for students to get, I fight for beer to be sold at games every single year because it would make us so much money, but they say, no, we don't want students drinking. And I said, well, they're drinking in the parking lot. Why wouldn't you want them drinking in a spot where they have to be carded and only get two and all this other stuff? Universities don't want their students, they don't want to be responsible, right? They don't want any bad things to happen. There's been a lot of bad things that have happened
for
selling beer at games, and Rice is giving it away for free to students that go to their games.
To be fair.
It's good, probably just one beer, by the way.
Good job on Rice. Because it's hard to be responsible for selling alcohol to children if you don't sell it.
If it's just free.
If you just give it, you can't be responsible for selling it to kids.
You know how crazy that is? There's going to be people like Gonzo's like printing out some student IDs now. They're going to pay $150 to fly round trip to Houston for free beer. That's an expensive beer. Rod's going to show up. Hey, what's up? Just enrolled. Free beer for Rice's students if they go. Think about how down bad they are getting kids to go to games. I mean, Rice is a high academic institution. They obviously are studying or something too much because they're not going to games.
This looks nothing like our student ID. I'm from out of state.
I am 12. I am 21. I am 21. 21. I just...
Jeez.
They're giving away 500 free t-shirts. They're giving away $15 food truck vouchers. They're giving away free beer. They're giving away free ice cream. I want to know what the stadium looks like against North Texas.
You were doing way too much before the free beer. It's nice. It's great. But you were going above and beyond before the free beer. What made... listen. Good on them, I guess. I
want to know. I got to see that game. I got to see how many people are at that game.
Oh, it's going to be packed.
Knowing the Rice students, they're going to show up, they're going to get their free stuff, and then go home.
Is there like a one-quarter mandatory stay? Like, do you have to be there for a certain amount of time, otherwise they take the stuff back?
I know there's a lot of like schools in town, like USD, UCSD, and San Diego State, always try to get their students to go to games. Let's see what the success rate is.
Please, for the love of it all, do not do the free beer.
The free beer.
Do everything else, just not the free beer.
I mean, USD has their own beer. They have like a Torero Blonde and a Torero IPA. The percentage on that's like 3%.
Well, that's okay.
You might as well give that away.
Yeah, that
for free.
You could give away for free.
Seriously. Free beer for the Rice games. That's incredible. Is that not incredible? That's incredible.
I mean...
Anyway.
If there's one thing we do know for sure is that Texas never goes overboard on things.
Dude, this is Rice. I mean,
Texas
I forget Rice
Texans
exists.
Never go overboard.
I got to see what that game looks like. Need tickets? Visit. Rod and Gonzo have already bought Rice UNT tickets for no reason. Their families are going to be like, where are you going?
Yeah,
Houston.
What are we doing?
For free beer. What? Excuse me? Comments are insane.
Speaking of which, we haven't checked in on the, what was it, Texas A&M police?
No, they fired that one guy that bodied up to South Carolina.
Good.
Dude.
Good.
I saw it happen firsthand, and I was like, I was watching the game on TV. I'm like, what? What are they doing? We'll get to that in a second. We do have to get back to what Andrew Marchand was talking about. We teased it. Andrew Marchand, who covers a lot of media rights deals for The Athletic, was on with Ben and Woods earlier today talking about what this new ESPN deal is or was with Major League Baseball. And he had this to say about the question of, will there be more equal TV revenue sharing? That's something we talked about in the last segment.
I mean, there's no way to tell for sure. I think the big thing is the Dodgers, you know, besides their ownership having endless money, is that their cable deal, I think it goes to 2037, is incredible. So theirs isn't going anywhere. It's with Spectrum. They're not going to be filing for bankruptcy. So there's no really mechanism for them to get out of it. That's what's happened with some of the smaller markets where people file for bankruptcy to get out of the contract and try to renegotiate. That's not happening with the Dodgers. So the Dodgers, the Yankees, there's some others. They're not really into this idea of having, I can't say for the Dodgers actually, but I will say the Yankees I'm pretty certain on. And I presume that I'm correct on the Dodgers in the idea of having all 30 teams just have one central localized agreement where you just buy all the games because the RSN still work to a degree. More for the Dodgers. The Dodgers even have a better situation than the Yankees. The Yankees are still doing very well in New York and they've remained on basic cable. So to answer your question, for them, for Manfred and Company to get that all 30 teams under one roof to sell the local games like he wants to, I think you're probably going to have to see some concessions in terms of revenue sharing or somewhere else in the CBA to make it worth their while, because it doesn't make sense for the Dodgers or the Yankees to get the same amount of local TV right revenue as the Pittsburgh Pirates or the Milwaukee Brewers. I mean, that just doesn't make sense.
Right.
And, you know, people can point to the NFL model. NFL is different than baseball. So it's going to take some arm twisting and some negotiation. There might be a way to get there, but I've also, there are some teams that are going to be pretty strident against it.
Yeah, we talked about that, Frank. Why would the Dodgers and the Yankees and the Red Sox and some of these entities.
Yeah, there's no incentive for the bigger markets.
Why would they ever give it up?
Exactly.
There's no reason why they should ever give it up. If I'm the Los Angeles Dodgers and I have this billion-dollar TV deal, why would I ever give that up for the betterment of, like, the Pirates and for all the teams that don't make any money on the TV contract, knowing that we are the, you know, cream of the crop when it comes to Major League Baseball? I mean, they've passed the Yankees, as Andrew Marchand has said.
And the Pirates do have their own television network. They have Root. So they do have their own network.
Yeah, they're not even one of the teams that is struggling as much. Right? So I would never do that if I was the Yankees or the Red Sox or any of these other ones.
Especially, I mean, but the Yankees, the Mets and Yankees are in a different situation because, unlike the Dodgers, we just lost your camera, by the way.
And I refreshed it.
Unlike the Dodgers, the Yankees and Mets own their television networks. So it's one of their properties. They are putting their product on their network. It's not like Spectrum, where Spectrum is its own thing. The Dodgers are just on Spectrum. So it's a little bit different with when it comes to the Mets and Yankees. I don't know who owns NASN for the Red Sox, but that there is a difference there between them.
We have one more clip from Andrew Marchand, and I don't know if we have...
It's almost 3 minutes.
It's three minutes. We're going to get to that when we come back. There's a lot going on in Major League Baseball that needs to be discussed. Over the next 2 years, there's a lot of information that is out there that needs to be curtailed. I mean, Major League Baseball really needs to put things together and get a reset on their product.
They're already working on this stuff, I'm sure.
Well, they have been.
The players' union, stuff like that. But it's just going to show that there is a lot more to this CBA and there's a lot more to this potential lockout than just, can we please have a salary cap? There's a hell of a lot more that goes into this.
They're looking at a salary cap. They're looking at a salary floor as put out by some of these TV contracts. It sounds like they're trying to centralize as much of it as possible. I mean, it just seems like to me that Rob Manfred is trying to make everything like the National Football League. Am I off on that? I mean, it seems like that seems to be the case. And look, the NFL is like well above everybody else in terms of their product. But again, as Andrew Marchand said, you know, I think there's a lot of things that the NFL does that could benefit baseball, but it's different. It's a different sport.
It's hard to put the genie back in the bottle.
But the other thing too is like they play once a week.
Yeah.
Major League Baseball plays every day. So like you could do the model that the NFL has and have all the games on one day. You can't necessarily do that every single day. Like are you able to do that on cable? If you're Major League Baseball, can't have every game on one, like two networks.
The only way you can do that is if Major League Baseball buys Spectrum, buys SNY, buys the YES Network, buys NASN, buys MASN.
I know,
that's
but what
the
I'm,
only way they could do it.
What I'm saying is like they can't make a centralized deal unless it's on streaming only,
right? And that's,
or you do like ESPN putting out all these ESPN Plus channels on cable.
Correct.
There's going to be like 1,000 different. There's going to have to be 15 different channels,
right?
For them to be able to watch games.
Yeah, or buy all the local networks. That's the only other way you can do it.
If you even look at hockey, I mean, you'd have to look at the hockey in the NBA more than the NFL because of the different games they play, the amount of games they play. We're an hour in the books. When we come back, the Dodgers have the advantage in the new TV deal. Andrew Marchand explains. That's a wrap for today's episode of the Braden Suprenet Show. If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to the podcast and favorite us on the Odyssey app. And remember, you can always catch me live weekdays from 10 to 2 on 97.3 The Fan and streaming on YouTube. Stay connected. Follow me at @B_SURP, @BSURP on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. And don't forget to subscribe to my YouTube page at @B_SURP. You can also follow the show on social media at @B_SURP show. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.